Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, When God Decides.
Verse number 1-6, and for correlating scripture, I'll go to Romans chapter number 9. Verse 19 through 21. We can rebuild him better, faster, stronger. Some of you have never seen that and you're wondering, where did they pull that from? I'll explain it in a moment. Jeremiah chapter number 18, it says, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. And then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel which he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Read that again. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again unto another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Pause. Go back to the video. We can make him better, faster, stronger. And the vessel that he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. And then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, can I do with you as the potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. For correlating scripture, if you don't mind, turn to Romans chapter number 9. And in verse number 19, it says, and you will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does the potter have power over the clay? From the same lump to make one vessel of honor and another vessel of dishonor. For the word of the Lord is blessed. And all God's people said amen. For a few moments this morning, I want to talk from a subject, when God decides. When God decides. The video that you just saw was taken from a television series in the 1980s called The $6 Million Man. In this television series, the character Steve Austin is an astronaut who is seriously injured when his spaceship crashes. Known to be handsome and athletic, Austin undergoes a government-sanctioned surgery. And in the surgery, he is rebuilt, or they rebuild him, remaking several of his body parts cyborg-like. When Steve finally recovers, his machine parts enable him to have supernatural strength. I promise you, I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. After being rebuilt, when he finally recovers, he now has supernatural strength. He has supernatural speed as well as several other supernatural powers. With these powers, Steve goes to work for the Office of Scientific Information. And he begins to battle the evil against the good of mankind. And the theme came out that you would hear over and over in the series is, we can remake him. We can rebuild him. We can make him bigger, faster, stronger. When I begin to read Jeremiah chapter number 18 and begin preparation for this teaching series, I begin to think over and over about that television series. Because the truth of the matter, some of us have had major crashes. We've had major crises. We've had things to go on. And the truth of the matter, we really could use a redo, a making again, a building us into another vessel. And this morning, that's what I sort of kind of want to talk about, when God decides that he agree. In the book of Jeremiah, he begins to show us that it has to be by his power, that it has to be by his design. Jeremiah is a reproving prophet, so he weeps much because he can be rough and he's not as polite, so the message sounds like it has no grace in it for recovery. But if you keep reading Jeremiah, one of the things that you discover is, although God is reproving his people, it is only that they would be enhanced and that they would become better. God chastened those that he loved, but it's always for improvement. It's always to be made better. Rarely it is for judgment and condemnation to dooming. You got to hear this. He's always trying to make us better. He's always trying to improve our disposition. He's always trying to get us a better outlook on life. He's always trying to move us from here to there. But today we've got to understand, it's when he decides. Part of the dilemma that we face, whether it's with the music that we hear, the self-help gurus that are trying to teach us, or the postmodern presentation on local social media, we really do buy into, I can be self-made. That if I really want it, I can go get it. If we were not born with it, we think we can buy it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. If we wasn't born with it, we think oftentimes we can work it out in the gym and become something. That the truth of the matter is, it's when God decides. We are the clay. He is the potter. We are in his hands. And he can do whatever he likes. And one of the things that I'm discovering is the struggle decreases the more I say yes. The disappointments lessen when I start saying, God, not my will, but your will be done. Life starts to look a whole lot of different when I say, Lord, I want life. And life more abundantly as you grant it to me. And I'll walk with godliness, with contentment, being great gain. I don't have to have that. I'm not going to break my neck trying to get that. I'm not going to sacrifice my family in order to live like that. It's when you decide. There are three things today that I want to talk to you about that will help us understand. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I am going towards when he decides to make us a greater people. But I got to start somewhere else before I can go there. The first thing we got to understand is found in Jeremiah chapter number 18, verse 1 through 4. The first thing we understand is whenever there is marred, and I'm going to make up a word, marredness in our life, God decides that I got to do something. Point number one, whenever we are marred, God decides, I got to do something different. What does that word marred mean? And I promise you, I'm going to be right on time today. The word marred means to be damaged or spoiled to a certain extent, to render less than perfect, less than attractive, less than usual, less than useful, disfigured, defaced, scarred, not in its proper designation. Whenever we are marred, God echoes to heaven that there is something that I have to do for my creation. In the text, it said he began to make a vessel, and he looked at the vessel, and he saw that the vessel was marred. So he said, I will take that clay off the wheel, and I will make again another vessel. I am so glad that God determines he's not going to leave us like we are. Say that again. I am so glad that God determined. He looks at us and he sees where he's taking us in destiny. They can't be like that. They can't win with that kind of attitude. They can't work on that job with that kind of disposition. I'm so glad that God decides he will not leave us like we are. I'm going to say that again. I am so glad hurt from our childhood, the scarring for what daddy never did, the rape at 16, the firing because of our skin color at 19, all those things, oh God, all of those things causes things to be within us that are displayed outward, that those outward can't figure out, why does she act like that? But you don't know what happened to her as a child. Why does he display such a disgruntled spirit? You don't know what happened to him on that job, that he was not treated fairly. I am so glad God does not leave us like we are. Because if we told the truth, there was some stage of this journey that all of us was marred. Tell by your response, you're trying to put on that sanctimonious face. All of us have gone through some period of our lives that we operated out of hurt, that we operated out of pain. We were mad with the world because that what that last boyfriend did. They didn't do it, but what that last boyfriend did made us mad at everybody we met. We met people in the bank. And what do you want to talk to me for? What's wrong, sweetheart? Well, you don't know that boyfriend that she just left. She was marred. Let me read the definition of marred again so you can understand. God decides when he sees that we are marred, we are damaged, or we're spoiled to a certain extent. We're rendered less than perfect. We're not attractive, not useful, disfigured, disfaced, scarred, not in its proper designation. There are callings. There are giftings. There are things that God has said we will do. And when we are not doing them and we are not in the position to do them, God looks down and he says, I got to do a redo. I got to do a remake. I got to take them out of that situation so I can set them in this situation. Whenever God sees that we are marred, he will not leave us like we are. I got one person saying thank you. I'm so glad he won't leave me dysfunctional like my family tried to make me. Oh, I finally got two or three amens. I am so glad he will not leave me with that attitude that my father had, that attitude that my mother had, that disposition that my aunties had. Have y'all ever looked at some aunts in the family and say, man, all y'all are, It's just marred. And if we told the truth, all of us, and I'm almost done, Edward. If we really told the truth, and this truth could really help the next generation, all all of us at some point of our lives have looked in the mirror and said, what's wrong with me? I got about two. That's right. If we told the truth, all of us have had periods of our life that we looked in the mirror and we said, what's wrong with me? I'm talking about we told the truth. And I can tell when you get quiet like that, you don't want nobody to know that I'm talking about you. All of us have looked in the mirror. If we didn't feel too fat, we felt too skinny. If we didn't feel too skinny, we felt too short. If we didn't feel too short, we felt too tall. If we didn't feel too tall, we felt like our hair was not long enough. We felt like our hair was going back too fast. Okay, let me get off the physical. We looked in the mirror and we said, why did we say that? Why did we do that? Why did we go there? Why are we letting them hang out with us? And I know it's quiet in here. And I want it to be. All of us have had to survive living and being marred. I'm trying to get through this, but I know something's wrong with me. Marred. I'm going to work. I feel like cussing everybody out of it work. Oh, y'all with y'all ain't got to tell the truth. Hey, y'all ain't got to tell the truth. I'm glad Sister back there agreeing with me. Thank you. The Lord sent you to witness. Because the rest of them looking at me like, I ain't never thought about cussing. You lying wonder. You didn't just think about it. Say this again and then I'll move to point number two. All of us have looked in the mirror one day and noticed our being marred. If not, then what would there be need of a Savior? The songwriter says, I was seeking deep in sin. Oh, let me say it just like he said it. I got it written down. I was seeking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. All of us have had to look up and say, what are you going to do with my being marred? And I'm so glad that God will not leave us like we are. I'm going to say that one more time and then I'm getting ready to move to point number two. I am so glad God will not leave us like we are. Now the enemy going to try to lie to us and tell us it's always going to be this way, but the God that we serve is mighty to save and mighty to heal and mighty to work wonders in our life to get us out of being marred and get us into being say. I'm so glad he's not going to leave us like this. Point number one, God decides when he sees that we are marred. God decides when he sees that we are marred. The places that he wants to take us, he knows we can't go with the baggage that we presently have. So before he lets the flight take off, he going to get rid of our baggage. And somebody ought to say amen right there. Point number two, God decides when we begin to display faithfulness. God decides first when he sees that we're marred. He said, I got to do something about this. The second thing is where God decides when he sees faithfulness. You know the text in St. Matthew that says, he that is faithful over little, I will make them ruler over much. God decides things about our lives when he sees faithfulness. When am I going to get the promotion? When am I going to get the wholesome marriage? When am I going to get, amen, my ministry expanding? When am I going to see doors open? Point number two, after fixing our marredness, the next thing he says, when I see you can be faithful over a little stuff, I will decide to move you into bigger stuff. If I went to your supervisor and I asked him about your timeliness of arrival, your work production, your attitude, what would their response be? Okay, if I went to your landlord and I asked questions about you paying your lease and you paying, amen, you keeping your, because people that are landlords, they go into your house when you're not there and they checking on their property to make sure you're not turning it up. You know that, right? If I ask your landlord, how do they keep up their property and how do they pay their rent and all of that, what would the report be? I'm going somewhere, so please stick with me, all right? If I went to your best friends and I asked them, how do you entreat them? Do they ever take you to lunch? Do they ever ask you how you do? Do they ever let you dump? Well, only thing they do is withdraw. See, because the truth of the matter, God, stay with me, and I'm almost done. I'm giving you the doxology in a minute. We want the more of God, but we forgot that God qualifies more by his measure of our faithfulness over which is little. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro, seeing what is being done in the land, whether it is good or evil. So God is watching you go to work, trying to determine, is it time for a promotion? Stay with me. God is looking at how you entreat your relationships to see if he can give you better relationships. And we say, God, give me this, whether it's Boaz or whether it's Ruth or whether it's Elisha with the Elisha. We're saying, God, give me better relationship. And God looks back at us and says, what are you doing with the relationships that I've already given you that you think are little? God says, I'm measuring everything by your level of faithfulness. I'm measuring everything by your level of faithfulness. I really think if we thought about this, everything we do, Brother Ernest, would be different. How we take care of our car. Y'all ain't saying nothing. How we take care of our houses. How we clean up behind ourselves when we eat dinner. And them dishes are still there from 2 weeks ago, but you want God to give you a bigger house with a better kitchen? And he's saying you ain't cleaning the kitchen you have. Our level of faithfulness. How do you get to work? But you want to supervise people. But you can't get yourself to work on time. But you want to supervise people. God said, no. No. You get to work on time for 3 straight weeks, and I'll do wonders in your life. See, y'all see how quiet it got in here? Guys, let me help you here. God does not just give blank checks because we ask. I need to say that again. See, because we are in the name it, grab it, snatch it. You can jump up and turn around 4 times, and you can flip and slide right in church, and you're going to get it. Well, they lied to get your offering. There are some things God will not do because we have not displayed the level of faithfulness. He said, I'm going to decide when I see you praying like you really want it. Feel like preaching, y'all. I'm gonna say them. I'm trying to just teach and make it plain. We want such and such person saved, but then let's measure how much time have we laid before the Lord. How many prayers have we really prayed that God will pull them out? When did we wake up in the middle of the night saying, God, save them for the uttermost to the guttermost? We just want to snatch it, call it out, let them be saved, And we ain't dealt with none of the principalities that's keeping them bound. How bad do you really want it? When God sees your faithfulness in prayer, what you pray for in secret, he said, then I'll reward you openly. You want to be trusted with more money? Let's do an account of what you're doing with your money right now. I know y'all want me to just spit and prophesy and tell you you're going to get it. When God is really ready to pour out billions and millions, he start looking to see how do we tithe, how do we offer, how do we give to others. He that lended to the poor, lended to God. That's what the Bible said. It is more blessing to give than it is to receive. So point number two, God decides when he see that we display a level of faithfulness. Let me help somebody one day. You won't get better teaching this and you pay $200, $300 for that seminar. Hear me. If whatever it is that you want, go back to the small place of that thing and start displaying faithfulness. You didn't hear what I said. Whatever it is, I'm talking, does anybody besides me really want some stuff? Man, I got a prophetic word the other day about the ministry and where God getting ready to take me. And I had to ask, do I really want that? Because I know where I got to go back and pay the price of what that's going to cost. See, I'm not a young novice anymore. When you get hung up, when you get these great big old things that God is getting ready to do, you better measure whether you got to go back to the small place and do, because he's going to only do it when he sees faithfulness in the small thing.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.